name. Amen.
Hey, good morning. How are you? So good to be in church. This Australia Day weekend, we always want to be a church that gives thanks. You know, we don't want to take for granted the nation that we live in because, of course, being such a missions-hearted church with partners all around the world, it often is weighs on my heart in my morning prayer times as I pray for our partners that so many of them put their life on the line to do what we're doing this morning, just even to have a church service. You know, I think of Brother Timothy, who we partner with in China. I think of Brother Kitbok in the northeast of India, where last year 18 of the house churches that he planted were burnt to the ground and 13 of his workers were killed, martyred for Christ. You know, it just, you know, and I think about this community, I think about the grace and favour that we have as a church with our council, with business, with people around, and it's just like I cannot but help to say, God, thank you. Thank you for planting us here. Thank you for causing us to be part of the best neighbour, Melton, and live in Carroll, part of this community. You know how good it is to live in the city of Melton and live in Caroline Springs and surrounds. We always want to be grateful and thankful. Of course, tomorrow we commence a three-week fast. And this year that fast is called Our City, Our Suburbs. And it's an outward-focused fast. If you've had a sneak peek at the devotion, we've been sending that out through eNews. And if you aren't signed up to eNews, fill in your Connect card, give us your correct email address and we'll get you signed up to that today. You can go to the website and go to the resources section and you can get the devotion that way as well. There are links there. But we want to take the next 3 weeks to specifically pray for our city. You know, I've just been sitting in that chair over there and it just so happens there's no banners covering those windows. Do you know from that window you can see all the way to the city of Melton? The city of Melbourne, not Melton, Melbourne. I've been just, as during the worship, just saying, Father, would you bless our city? Would you cause your name to be lifted up in this great south land of the Holy Spirit? Lord, would you come and would you reign like you've never reigned before in our next is vital. And I just feel in God that the next 3 weeks is vital. It's vital for everything that the Lord is going to call us to do as a church this year. Everything that we do in our work, in our witness, our service of this community is almost set up over these next 3 weeks. And so as you join with my family and as you fast, as you want to fast, there's no legalism, and as you seek the Lord and as, you know, we're encouraging you in your families to share communion together on a daily basis, to remember the costliness of our faith, the you know, how much it cost Jesus that we might be able to be forgiven and set free. We're praying that our collective, our corporate faith, our corporate intimacy, our corporate love for Jesus would deepen and grow. But then our heart for our city and developing the heart that Jesus has for our city and the suburbs that we live in and the neighbours that we interact with. I just really feel that God is going to establish something and break something that would hold our city back from the gospel over these next 3 weeks. Now, of course, last week I preached a message on fasting. That's been podcasted. It's on the website. And so if you're wanting to hear, if you weren't here and want to hear that message, it's there and it's available to you. But of course, some of you know that this last week we took the youth to summer camp, but then we had, Melissa and I had a few days to fast, and we didn't fast, we prayed, and we worshipped God, and we planned, and we were just seeking the Lord. And in the midst of one of the morning devotions, the word that I'm going to share with you this morning, God dropped in my heart. And I feel it's a key, and I'll speak more about that word key, but I believe it's a key for your prayer life over these next 3 weeks. I don't know whether you know or you remember, but 10 years ago, there was a dramatic event in New York City. Flight 1549, a US Air flight, was taking off from Dulles Airport, and it hit a flock of birds. And instantly, there were the engines cut out. And there's some photos, Serge, in my message of what happened. But of course, 2.5 minutes into the flight, the captain had to make a decision. What did he do? He couldn't actually turn the plane back to the airport. And the air traffic control were trying to get him to another airport. And then as he was looking at how sluggish the plane was and how it was, falling from the sky, literally, he said, look, that's not going to happen. And so he had to make the decision to land the plane or try to land the plane in the Hudson River. And of course, as you can see in the picture, that's exactly what happened. And you can go on YouTube and you can have a look, but there's some video footage of that plane hitting the water. Rescue boats immediately come, like ferries that were going across the Hudson, immediately came up to the plane. The crew, the air hostesses, they had prepared people well for the brace position and those sorts of things. And when the plane hit, they looked out the windows to see whether they could open the doors, and some of the doors could open, so they did, and the automatic chutes went out, and people standing on the wings, as you can see. The back part of the plane started to fill up with water, and there ended up only being two injuries, but one of the injuries was of one of the air hostesses, where she had a deep gash, and in actual fact, in the midst of everything, almost her entire uniform was ripped off her. It was, quite violent as the tail hit first. But the miraculous thing was all 155 passengers and crew were saved. All of them were rescued. And the captain, Chelsea Burnett Sullenberger III, known as Captain Sully, he was acclaimed as a hero pilot. And the Mayor Bloomberg of New York presented to Captain Sully the keys to the city of New York. And the keys were also given to the first officer, Jeffrey B. Skillies, flight attendants Donna Dent, Doreen Welsh and Sheila Dahl. They were given the keys to the city. What does that mean? What does that mean? I was trying to find an Australian story. Do we give keys to cities? And I couldn't find many. I guess, like you might have heard this Australia Day weekend of the two doctors who were involved in rescuing the boys in the Thailand cave about 6 months ago were named Australian of the Year. And I guess our closest equivalent to like keys of the city is we appoint somebody as Australian of the Year. What does that do? What if you get the keys to the city, or you get appointed, to be Australian of the Year? What does that mean for you? Well, you have an authority to speak. You get an authority. People want to hear what you got to say, and you're given access. You're given access. Like the key. The key that is sometimes given by cities, it's like, is there a door? Does a city have a door? Does the city of Melton, is there the city of Melton door, that you unlock, or the city of Melbourne door? There's no door to Melbourne, but what it means is you're given authority and you're given access. You're given access. You're given access. People that you might normally not be able to talk to, if you pick up the phone and say, hey, this is, if Captain Sully rings the Mayor of New York and says, hey, I want to see you. Well, guess what the Mayor of New York's going to do? He's going to say, yeah, we'll set that up. If the Australians of the year this year, you know, want to go and have a chat to the Governor General or want to go and have a chat to the Prime Minister or one of the ministers in the government, guess what? They can just pick up the phone and say, could we have a chat? And there is authority given for them to be able to speak, and there is access given. There's access given. Well, in the New Testament, we're told Jesus is the key holder. And he hasn't got just keys to a city or the accolades to an Australia Day honours list. He's got keys to the kingdom of God. And in Revelation 1, 17 and 18, Passion Translation says it this way, don't yield to fear. Hey, that'll preach right there. Hey, don't yield to fear. I am the beginning and I am the end. The living one, says Jesus. I was dead, but now look, I'm alive forever and ever. And I hold the keys to unlock death and the unseen world. See, the authority that Jesus has is supreme to any other authority. He is the greatest authority there could ever be. And he holds the keys of life and death. Jesus says this to his disciple Peter in Matthew 16, 19. In the New King James Version, he says this, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. The New Living Translation puts it this way, I will give you, says Jesus, the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you forbid on earth will be forbidden in heaven. And whatever you permit on earth will be permitted in heaven. The Message translation puts these words of Jesus this way. You have complete and free access to God's kingdom. Keys to open any and every door. No more barriers between heaven and earth. Earth and heaven. Access and authority is what Jesus promises Peter. He says, I give you the keys of the kingdom of God. No more barriers. No more What barriers are there in your life? I wonder, as you think of your life and you think, hang on, it just seems like, and they're usually invisible barriers, it's sort of like I just can't get through this thing. I can't get over this thing. Sometimes it's something in our past and it's like I just don't seem to get over it. Sometimes it's, we've been praying for provision or an opportunity or for some release or reconciliation or forgiveness or whatever it is. And it's like it just doesn't come. What does Jesus say to Peter? No more barrier. I give you keys of access and authority. In other words, you can start to confess with your mouth, with faith, breakthrough, healing, release, provision. And God is saying, he's given you some keys. You've got access. You've got access. This morning, Jason picked up the bus. Praise God, he realized he had no access to this building. It wasn't a big set of keys like, I guess, we found these keys. I'd like to know what doors these keys, come to. I'd like to know what door this key, belongs to, right? But here it was an electronic key. He needed the swipe card to get in the building. He needed to have the authority and the access so the alarms wouldn't go off. You know, if someone was to give you a key to their home or a key to their car
or a key to their motorbike or the key to their aeroplane. Or, you know, it's like you've got access and you've got authority. You've got access, you've got authority. If you've got a set of keys, have you ever gone, honey, where's the keys? Where's the keys? Where's my keys? Right? Why do we get, oh no, where's my keys gone? Where's the keys? Because without the keys, we don't have access and we don't have authority. Our opportunity to enter into that which the key unlocks and opens is not there. Do you get it? Yeah? So Jesus speaks and he says, hey, no barrier. No barrier between earth and heaven. Yet many Christians feel powerless, lacking in spiritual authority. They do not seem to realize what Jesus has given. Wonder, are you hearing Jesus say to you this morning, have you got the key? Have you got my keys? Hey, sweetheart. Hey, champion. You got the keys? Hey, son or daughter. Have you got my keys? Have you got my keys? I believe that Jesus over these next 3 weeks is going to regularly and often say to you, if you would hear, hey, son, hey, daughter, have you got my keys? Have you got, not your keys, have you got my keys? Because I give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. You can't buy these keys. You can't earn these keys. The only one who can give you the key to the kingdom of heaven is the key holder, who holds the keys of heaven. He holds the keys and he gives the keys to whom he will. He gives the keys to whom he will. Have you got his keys? Now, does that mean, well, you know, because Mark is, you know, a bit of a champion with the U. Oh, well, he's got keys. Oh, but, you know, Abby, because Abby's little, you're not so little, you're getting taller and more beautiful every time I see you. But it's like, you know, well, Abby hasn't got keys. You know, is that the way it works? No. Jesus' intention is that all who would call on him, all who would know him, would have access to the keys of heaven. As we commence our fast, our city, our suburb fast tomorrow, the Lord wants you to understand you are not powerless. You have the immense privilege of having been given the keys to the kingdom of God. Receive his keys. He's the key holder. Receive his keys by faith. Now the context, I've read this chapter. You know, Peter's saying to you, I give you the keys. Give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. What's the context in which Jesus speaks that to Peter? Because it's important. The context is Peter understanding and acknowledging who Jesus is. How do I get the keys to the kingdom of heaven? By understanding who he is and acknowledging you are king. You're the key holder. I'm just your son. I'm just your servant. I've just been forgiven and set free by what everything you've done. Psalm 14 verse 1 says, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. They're corrupt and their deeds are vile. There is no one who does good. The Lord looks down from heaven on all mankind to see if there are any who understand, any who seek God. Jesus isn't miserly with his keys. He's not sort of wanting to hide his keys. You know, we have a hidey hole for our keys. You know, if the kids, you know, forget their key, we've got a place, they won't tell you. They'll have to kill you. No. But, you know, they've got this place where we've hidden the keys. And sometimes we can have an attitude in faith of, oh, you know, God just hides. God just hides his power. He hides his access. He hides his authority. No, he doesn't. If you are willing to have an understanding heart, if you say, God, I don't know you as good as I should know you, but God, I want to know you more. Hey, what does the psalmist say? The eyes of God are looking for those who are seeking to understand him. Jesus is wanting to put access and authority. He's wanting to put the keys of the kingdom of God in your hands and in mine. Just before Jesus speaks to Peter about the keys of the kingdom in Matthew 16, he's quite amazed at the lack of understanding of his disciples. In reading from verse 5, it says, Later, after they crossed to the other side of the lake, the disciples discovered they'd forgotten to bring any bread. I don't know, have you been anywhere and it's like we forgot lunch? Oh, we forgot lunch. We forgot it. So if you've been there, this is where the disciples were, right? Really earthy, you know, moment. In verse 6, Jesus says, watch out, he warned them. Beware of the yeast of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. I don't know how it would be if one of the kids from the back seat of your car, you know, you've realised you've forgotten lunch, and they said, beware of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. It's like, where's, you know, what's going on? You know, clearly Jesus is at another place to where these guys, they're just focused on, hey, we're getting hungry. Jesus is focused somewhere else. In verse 7, at this, they began to argue with each other because they hadn't brought any bread. So you were supposed to pack the lunch. No, you were going to do it. You were going to pack the esky. Jesus knew what they were saying, so he said, you have so little faith. Why are you arguing with each other about having no bread? Don't you understand even yet? Don't you remember the 5,000 I fed with 5 loaves and baskets of leftovers you picked up? Or the 4,000 I fed with 7 loaves and the large baskets of leftovers you picked up. Why can't you understand? I'm not talking about bread. I wonder how many of us get so caught up with the issues and the mundane things of life that we become all stressy and all worried. And the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, he who is the bread of life, he who is the water of life, he who is the provision of God, is saying to us, child, why are you just so worried? Why are you worried? You know, you got that bill that came that you weren't expecting. You know, you got that unexpected phone call. That doctor said this or that about your health. Your family member said whatever. Hey, I've not fallen off the throne. I've not fallen off the throne. You know, half the time, the reason why we don't operate in power in prayer, it's not because Jesus has not given us the keys. It's we've dropped the keys. We've dropped the keys. We're so focused on the here and the now and the mundane that we forget to understand, hey, he's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He has cattle on 1,000 hills. There's nothing too hard for him. There's nothing too hard. I put my faith. I put my trust. I say, God, okay, I don't know where the money's going to come from for that bill. I don't know how we're going to reconcile with this family member, but Jesus, it's your heart that we be ministers of reconciliation. It's your heart that we can't ever outgive you. So God, I'm going to trust you. And you know what you do in those moments when you start to speak to yourself like that? It's like David saying, bless the Lord, O my soul, all that is within me. Bless his soul. He's not praying. He's speaking to himself. He's saying, come on, bless the Lord. What I do is I pick up the keys that Jesus has already handed to me that I've dropped. When I start to speak that way, when I start to speak faith, when I start to speak, no, we're going to get through this. Yeah, okay, you've been having a rough patch in your marriage. Well, guess what? Most people do. But I love you, girlfriend, and you love me. We're going to get through this. That's God's intention. You're single, and it's like, you know, God, I would like to be married. Well, commit your way to the Lord. Trust God. He's got in his hand who he desires for you, but you trust him. You're having that struggle with your boss at work? Well, you can bitter and complain and, you know, you can be angry toward him, or you can say, no, I'm going to bless those who curse me. I'm going to work not for him or her. I'm going to work for the Lord. I'm going to take the scripture, everything I do unto you, O God. And guess what starts to happen? Keys unlock. What do they unlock? Access. Access and authority. Access and authority starts to come. Things start to change when I put my faith in Jesus. Jesus says, don't you understand yet, to the disciples? Why can't you understand? I felt the Lord saying to me over these last few days, do we understand today who he is? Do I understand really what he's done? What he wants to do in our lives through our relationship with him, not our religion. Do I understand the access and the authority that I have in him? Do you understand today that because of what Jesus has done for you, if you've accepted him as Lord and Saviour, you can boldly approach the throne of grace? You don't have to meekly and, you know, half, you know, fearing that a lightning bolt's going to come and get you from God. I can boldly approach because of what Jesus has done. Yeah, in and of myself, my righteousness is filthy rags. That's what the Bible tells me. But because of what Jesus has done, I'm a son. Or you're a daughter. We're kids of the King. We've got access to the kingdom of God. You know, I wonder how many of you had a dad. I know not all of us have had dads in our life. I didn't have a dad in my life. But I wonder how many of you have had a dad say to you, here's the keys. Here's the keys to the car. Or here's the keys to the house. I wonder how you felt the first time somebody said, you know, your parent or a guardian figure said to you, here's the keys. Here's the keys. It's like, whoa, wow, hey, get this. With the Spirit said, let Father God, he who with the Son and with the Spirit said, let there be light, and so it was. He who said, let the stars form, let the planets be formed and be in their orbit. He who said, let the earth form, let the waters rise, let trees and animals grow. He who created man and woman in his image, that God says to you, child, here's the keys. Here's the keys. Here's the keys to the kingdom of heaven. You're my child. You're my child. I give you access and I give you authority. I give you access and I give you authority. That's greater than Dad giving you the keys to the car. He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ever ask, think, or imagine. In Matthew 16:13, it says, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So they said, well, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. And he said to them, who do you say I am? He's asking you that question this morning. Who do you say I am? Because there's a link between your confession and him giving you keys. You can't have the keys without an understanding of the key giver. Who do you say I am? Well, in Matthew 16, Peter speaks up and he says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Some other translations say, you are the Messiah, the one that was promised. Jesus in verse 17 says, Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. You know, it's the same today. I can't make you believe. I'm a pastor. I'm a minister of reconciliation in the kingdom of God. I preach the word. I seek to live the word. But you know, I can't make anyone believe. It still works this way, that it's the Holy Spirit who knocks on the door of your heart. He's the one who extends the invitation. He's the one who does the work of convincing. And to all who would open, to all who would receive, he gives the right to become a child of God. To all who would believe in the name that is above every other name, the scripture says we're given the right to become children of God. Jesus is still asking the question by his Spirit, even this morning on this 27th of January 2019, who do you say I am? Who do you say I am? See, some of us get it around the wrong way. We want the blessings of God. We want the access and the authority, but we're not willing to make the confession, and we're not willing to surrender a life, and we're not willing to say, well, God, not my will, but your will. It's like we want our cake and eat it too. We want the blessings of God, but we're not willing to do the hard yards of repentance, the hard yards of well, God, I'm going to trust you more than I trust me. I'm going to put my faith in you more than I put my faith in myself. And so sometimes we're longing, oh, God, bless me. God, help me. God, lead me. God, guide me. But we actually haven't come to that place of surrender. We haven't come to that place where God says to us, son, daughter, who do you say I am? Because God doesn't have grandchildren. He only has children. I can't be on the basis, I can't come before God on the basis of someone else's faith. I'm called to have my own faith. And when I have my own faith, guess what? God gives me my own key. See, the thing is, he's got a key. And it's got your name. See, there's access and authority that only you've got. It's the intention of God that you would have access and authority. You would have access and authority based on your confession. Jesus says, who do you say I am? Who do you? Not the person sitting next to you, not the person in front of you, not the person behind you. Who do you say I am? When Peter makes his confession, then Jesus says, and I say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. I wonder, have you heard God speak your name? Because there's something happens. One of the keys that we are given, one of the keys that God puts in our hand is he says, child, and I call you. In Peter's case, it was Peter. Peter, upon this rock, I will build my church. I wonder if you had the Holy Spirit speak into your spirit and God say, you are a Sarah, mighty warrior woman of God. Now, you wouldn't have had God say that to you. Only a Sarah is going to get hurt. That, you know, if God said, David, if God said, you are a Sarah. No, you didn't hear God. Huh? Only a Sarah is going to hear that. Right? I wonder, have you got a longing? You know, sometimes we can hear a word that is spoken over somebody else and it's like, oh, I want that. I want that. Oh, give me, oh, I'll have what he's having. I'll have what she's having. No, no, no. God's got a name. The name that he ascribes to you. It's a key. And if you would take up the name that God gives you, I'm a child. I'm a prince in the kingdom. I'm a princess in the kingdom of God. I have access. I can boldly approach my Father. I can pray, and at any time, God says, I'm here. I'm here. Oh, If you start to take up the name that God would give you, guess what happens? Access and authority. Some of you are not seeing breakthroughs in your prayers because you haven't taken up the key that God so desperately wants to put in your hand. Because He says to you, you are my beloved. You are my cherished one. You are the one that my intention is that no weapon formed against you will prosper. My intention is to bless you and not to curse you. My intention is that you would live in freedom and victory. When we start to hear those words spoken deep in our soul, then our prayers are empowered because we've got access and we're operating in the authority that is ours, that we haven't earned and we haven't bought. Over these next three, declared and decreed. Over these next 3 weeks, God is wanting to declare and decree, hey, you've got the key that I've put your name on to access my kingdom. Have you got your key? Honey, where's the key? Hey, disciple, where's your key? Where's your key? The penny drops for Peter when he hears Jesus say, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. It's like, whoa. Now, if you know Peter well, you'll also know that, you know, not a few chapters later, he hears this and then he's denying Jesus 3 times. Well, welcome to discipleship. Because we can have moments where intimate, deep moments where God can speak into our heart and it's like, can I get any closer to God? And we're so fickle that sometimes, what do? We drop our key. And you know what you have? You have an enemy who wants to steal, kill and destroy. And that enemy says, you dropped it. You blew it. You can't pick that thing up again. You need to hear Jesus who says to you, I give you the keys of the kingdom. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Some of you are too easy pushovers because the devil's having a field day in your life and it's like, now come on. I've got some authority as a child of God. I need to pick up the keys that Jesus has put in my hand and I actually need to go to war. I need to go to war against the devil and his evil schemes. You know, it's interesting to me. You know that scripture says that the gates of hell shall not prevail against the army of the Lord. The Lord dropped this into my spirit. It's a bit of a deep thought, so stay with me. But gates are never offensive. You never hear of an army picking up a gate and going, yeah! And they're carrying a gate into battle. Never hear that. Now, what's a gate? It's defensive. It's like, keep the enemy out. Oh, I put up the walls, I put up the gates to keep people out. What does the scripture say? The gates of hell shall not prevail. You know the devil, he's the big bluffer. It's like he wants to be big and scary, pitchforks and, you know, big boogeyman. Sorry, I'm spitting on you, buddy. All right, it's blessed. You know? Right? It's like, but he's got walls around because in actual fact, he knows he's defeated. He's trying to protect himself because he knows if actually the children of God take up the keys of God, guess what? The keys unlock. They unlock hell. You know, that some of you, I believe, over these next 3 weeks are going to see family members and friends that you've prayed for years come to faith. It's been like they're locked and bound. And it's like Jesus is saying, no. Come on, understand, you've got a key. What does the key unlock? No, there isn't this imaginary, you know, door to Melbourne. But the Bible says there is a door to hell. And it can be unlocked. And people who are bound can be released in Jesus' name. You need to get a bit of grunt about you. You need to get a bit of, come on. Oh, speak to myself. Come on. Who am I? I'm a child of the God, of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Hey, I've got some keys. Now, I don't do that haughty and I don't do that more, you know, prideful. I do that humbly because I'm saved by grace through faith. It's the gift of God, not by works. So I can't boast. But Jesus does want me to understand the access and authority that he gives me. And he gives you, amen? So over these next 3 weeks, Jesus is calling for doors that are currently locked to be unlocked. You know, when Peter heard this word, we're told, just a few weeks later, 3,000 people came to faith with one message. Acts 2:41. We're told in a few chapters later in the book of Acts, Peter, who was all a bit thingy about Jews not associating with Gentiles and not eating non-kosher food and all that sort of stuff, he goes to Cornelius's house and he sees Cornelius, the Gentile, saved. And in fact, the gospel goes to the Gentile world. That same authority is given to you and to me. What did the Message version say? You will have and free access to God's kingdom. Keys to open any and every door. No more barriers between heaven and earth, earth and heaven. Yes on earth is a yes in heaven. No on earth is a no in heaven. Hell is not meant to overcome you. Weapons are not meant to defeat you. Believers armed with the kingdom, the keys of the kingdom, can storm the gates of hell and set prisoners free. You have the amazing privilege, family, of praying for our community these next 3 weeks. You have the joy of seeing people set free from drug addiction, alcoholism, crime, and every other bondage. You can approach challenges with confidence, fearing no evil, knowing that you share in a remarkable spiritual authority. You can see people set free through the preaching of the good news. You can see people addicted to porn and anger and cycles of guilt and resentment and bitterness broken in Jesus' name as you pray. As you pray. We can see our city and our suburb won for Christ. We can see more and more men, women, youth, children come into the kingdom of God as we pray. But if we don't pray with the authority and the access that we have, it's a little bit like pushing water uphill. It's hard. It's hard. And God's intention is that it not be hard. His intention is that we, the church, are resourced with every access and every authority that he's given, every key. And so I wonder, on this eve of our fast, would you just get your faith set? Would you get yourself set? Would you get ready? Would you say, God, would you cause me to grow in my understanding of what you put in my hand, what my faith puts in my hand? I put my faith in you, and what you put in my hand is the keys to your kingdom. You give me access and you give me authority. Oh Lord, I want that more. I wonder how different your life will be in 3 weeks' time if you just started to pray simply, Lord, I want to take up every key that you would put in my hand. I want the access and the authority. I wonder how your prayers will change. I wonder how your worship will change. When you know you have access and authority to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And if you bow your head with me. Father God, we thank you and we praise you. That Lord, you don't hide your keys. but you make them available to any who would call on your name. And Father, it's our confession this morning that we don't want to be Christians who live in defeat. We don't want to be stepping one step forward and two steps back in our spiritual life. We don't want to be people who constantly feel like we're under threat and under attack. But Lord, we want to be people who, with bold faith, know we have access and authority. Because Jesus has given me the keys to the kingdom of heaven. I pray, Father, over your people, over these next 3 weeks, that you would cause their confidence in you to grow, their reliance upon your word to deepen. I pray, Father, that you would give spiritual discernment and wisdom and understanding to know you better, to know their faith, to know what your word teaches, to be able to discern the voice of the Holy Spirit. I pray, Father, for breakthrough over our community. I pray, Father, that people who are living in darkness would see the light. I pray, Father, that you might cause your church, as it were, to be a beacon on a hill. And that, Father, you might cause our work and our witness and our service to be effective and fruitful, but not in our own strength, Lord, but because of your presence, because it's your presence that changes everything. And the key to the kingdom of God gives us access to you. We've got access to your presence. We need not be alone, and we need not be afraid, as you said in Revelation. Do not be afraid. I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the author and the finisher of life. I'm the holder of the keys of death and the unseen world. God, cause our focus on you to be sharper and clearer over these next 3 weeks. And Father, as we simplify our lives, as Lord, as we eat simply, as we just go about our day simply, as we get rid of the clutter, maybe of social media and other things, that Lord, you might just cause us, Lord, to discern and your voice. So Father God, I thank you and I praise you for answered prayer over these next 3 weeks. I thank you, Father, for particularly unsaved family members and friends coming to faith as we pray, because that's the greatest miracle. I thank you, Father, for reconciliation and healing in families and relationships that will come over these next 3 weeks. I thank you, Father, for what you're going to do to establish our ministry and our witness for you in Caroline Springs and around the world through these next 3 weeks. Lord Jesus, we know that it's only through understanding who you are that we get the keys to the kingdom of God. And we thank you for what John wrote in 1 John 1, where he said in John 1:12, to all who would receive him, who would believe in his name, he gives the right to become a child of God. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed this morning, I wonder, the Holy Spirit knocking on the door of your heart. I said to you earlier, I can't save anyone. I just am a herald and a witness to the one who can. Jesus is knocking on the door of every heart because his desire is that none should perish and all have eternal life. Today, Jesus is saying to you and to me, let's be in relationship together. Let's be in relationship. Child, receive me as your Lord and Saviour. The scripture says to all who would receive him and who would believe in him, he gives the right to become a child of God. Do you want to be a child of God today? He's knocking on the door of your heart and he's saying, come, come to me, all that you who would. If that's your sincere prayer and desire, I want to know Jesus
as my Lord and my Saviour. Would you just simply slip up your hand? I'm not going to ask you anything other than that. Just slip up your hand, say, yep, you're praying for me, and you can slip it right back down, but I want to give the opportunity. Looking around. Thank you, Jesus. Well, I'm going to take it that most people here are Christians.